Now, Bon-Ton confirmed this week that the company is shutting down after nearly 120 years in business. They operated stores like Boston and Yonkers, and the news means that more than 2,200 workers in Wisconsin will lose their jobs. 250 stores will close around the country. Hart Posen is an associate professor of management and human resources at the University of Wisconsin School of Business. He's with us now to talk about what the closure says about the retail industry. Hart, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, Bon-Ton,
every time someone goes bankrupt, you call.
You're the guy we call now, yeah. So Bon-Ton owned a bunch of different stores under a bunch of different names. In a nutshell, what happened?
You know, Bon-Ton has been in trouble for some time now. You know, they have a bunch of different names. Some of them you know, some of them you don't know, that have been acquired over the years. And, you know, really the fundamental problem at Bon-Ton was there was nothing distinctive about them. They weren't low price. They didn't have the best selection. They didn't have the best customer service. There was nothing that would make you really go in to a Bon-Ton store.
Is this part of a story of online shopping, Amazon in particular, is killing brick-and-mortar retail, or is there a lot more to it than that?
I think there's more to it than that. There's no doubt that the online part is part of it, but Bon-Ton would have been in trouble, I think, regardless. There's certainly huge changes going on in retail right now. Part of it is about figuring out how to mix in online and brick and mortar. But at the same time, there's no reason to believe that brick and mortar is going away.
Before I ask how they're successful, what are some of the successful stores that are doing okay in brick and mortar now?
Yeah, there are plenty of stores doing reasonably well. The discounters, the TJ Maxx's and Ross Dress for Less, they're doing very well. And those discount versions of Nordstrom's, Nordstrom's Rack, for instance, they're doing quite well. So those types of folks are doing well. They're distinctively sort of low price, but with this sort of hunt and gather kind of feel to it. Best Buy is doing reasonably well. As well. Kohl's is doing reasonably well as sort of the big Wisconsin success story.
So what's a store like Kohl's doing right? They have to have something unique, I guess. What is it there?
Yeah, you know, compared to the Bon-Tons of the world, but the others who are in sort of our traditional sort of shopping malls, a lot of the Kohl's stores are newer. They're in these sort of large strip mall locations that are closer to where people are living now, easier to get in and out of. So I think part of Kohl's success, it comes down to their more appropriate locations, but also part of it comes down to the way they've been able to mix in online and in stores to continually draw people into the stores with a good mix of regular price and discounts. Kohl's is doing a lot of things right now.
Now, where do the Targets and especially Walmarts of the world fit in here?
Yeah, so particularly Walmart is doing pretty well. Target is holding its own. They're in a bit of a different fight and a more sort of direct fight with Amazon. Walmart has been, you know, Walmart can't grow by opening more Walmart stores. They're already within 10 minutes of most of us. They need to grow online. They've been fighting really hard to do that. A few years ago, they bought an online startup called Jet.com for like $3 billion. And it was mostly to hire the founder of Jet.com to run their online business. And they've made some progress in sort of competing online against Amazon.
Talking to Hart Posen from the UW Business School, Bon-Ton is liquidating, selling off its stores. That has an impact on shoppers here in Wisconsin, and people who work at their stores and one of their two headquarters in Milwaukee. The Boston store, the first Boston store in Milwaukee, it's going to go away. Long tradition there. A downtown store. And I've seen in places, you know, Chicago, they're bringing stores in downtown. It seems like there's a retail experience coming back to downtown, but that doesn't always pan out for places.
You know, it pans out when that experience is an experience that you can't have someplace else. So if you want to see where that's going on in around here, it's going on at Hilldale in Madison, for instance, right? Where not that, you know, it was 2011, 12, the owner of that property was in bankruptcy. And so they've made sort of a unique experience that you can't get elsewhere. The part of the problem with the malls, East Town, West Town, they're the same. East Town, Madison, West Town, Madison, some other town, same stores, same experience, no good reason to get out of bed and go.
Yeah, let's talk about the shopping malls. And I used to think growing up, if you knocked me out and put me on the floor of a mall anywhere in the country, it would take me a while to figure out what city I was in, because they really do all look the same. And a lot of the Bon-Ton stores, they were anchor stores for the traditional shopping malls, if I could say that. What is happening at our malls now?
You know, that problem that you described, the sort of the homogeneity of these malls, that's certainly gotten worse and worse. In part, it was the mall owner's own doing, right? They didn't want local retailers in those malls. They preferred regional and national players because they could sign a deal with you for not one location, but 10 locations or 100 locations. And so they made themselves homogenous, and as long as there was no other competition, it wasn't a problem.
Is there something about us, our psychology, that's changing? Because when I was a teen, we would go and hang out at the mall. Probably didn't spend enough to sustain the mall, but people would go out for a day of shopping at the mall, go to the anchor store, maybe a couple specialty stores, maybe hit the food court. Do we want to do that kind of thing anymore?
You know, that's a tough and broad question. I think the way people socialize, certainly the way kids socialize, is changing. But I think there's, you know, per your story of, you know, in Chicago on Michigan Avenue or in Madison these days in Hilldale, people do want to go do that. If we, meaning the mall owners, the store owners, give them a good reason to. If they don't give us a reason, we can just easily stay home and shop on Amazon.
Are there more upscale stores? You mentioned the discount stores doing pretty well. Are there upscale stores or mid to upscale stores that are doing a good job at in and of themselves being that experience for people to shop at?
I think there are a variety of chains that are doing a decent job. You see North Face stores. People want to go into a North Face store. Because they can tell that it's distinct from the goods in other stores. But if you walk into a Gap or an Abercrombie, can you tell them apart? And the answer is definitely no. So there are folks doing well. Best Buy has done a really nice job of using the store as a complement to buying to folks buying online. There's some touch and feel that you can get by going into a Best Buy. And, you know, you saw it this week, actually, because Amazon announced that their new Fire line of televisions will be available in Best Buy stores, so people can go look and touch and feel.
So we can buy our Amazon products not online.
Yes, yes. Isn't that great?
Now, I want to bring up a couple more anchor stores at malls, Sears and JCPenney's. I know Penny's in particular has gone through some efforts to reinvent itself. We're not going to get rid of coupons. Oh, my God, nobody's shopping here anymore. We're going back to coupons. What is the future for those big and long-running lines of stores?
Yeah, you know, I'm betting against Sears. My bet would be Sears will disappear mostly. JCPenney might survive. JCPenney's been doing a better job. You know, your comment on getting rid of coupons at JCPenney had to do with a few years ago, JCPenney hiring the marketing experience person from Apple,
right,
trying to make it more Apple-ish. That didn't go anywhere, and very quickly they got rid of that person and decided, no, our real competitor, Kohl's. And Kohl's is their real competitor now.
Now, I wonder about kind of coupon and sale culture. There's been a concern, and part of the concern, I think, with JCPenney's was that, okay, great, we've trained our customers to never buy things at full price, to wait for the coupon, wait for the sale. Is that something that's come back to bite companies in the rear?
You know, that's something that comes back to bite lots of companies. The company that famously paid the price for that and continues to pay the price is the Gap. I don't know about you, but I think I told you offline here, I buy my 6 pairs of Gap jeans once a year after Christmas at 50% off. And so they do train us, and they train us with outlet stores and other things, and it's hard to recover from that. I think folks who do that quite well have been Kohl's once again, who have used sort of discount pricing, smart discount pricing, to get people in the door.
And that's entered into Wisconsin and national politics because of Governor Walker.
Yes, that's right.
We're talking to Hart Posen, Associate Professor of Management and Human Resources at the UW School of Business, talking about the end of Bon-Ton, the parent company of Boston Store and Yonkers, among many others. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234 about how you shop. Are you still shopping at department stores? If not, why did you stop? If so, which ones do you go to? What keeps you coming back to a store? Do you have memories of shopping at the big Boston store in Milwaukee? And do you work for Bon-Ton? What is happening to you now? Do you work at another retailer that you're worried about the future there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation about the liquidation of Bon-Ton and what it says about the changing retail industry and how you shop. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you working in the retail industry worried about what recent closures might mean for you? Are you a shopper? Do you still go to department stores, big box stores, the mall? Are you shifting more to online? What does it take to get you into a store? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Hart Posen stays with us from the UW School of Business. To your calls now. Sean is on the line in Madison. Sean, hi.
Hi. I've found that I'm a 49-year-old male, and the experience in a store is what draws me there. Cabela's, REI, specialty stores. I like to go there for the experience, for the to make my larger purchases. But I have found that Amazon has become the place that I go for, like, my $10 and under items, because I don't have to run around town looking for a specialty item that's less than $10. I can go on Amazon, buy them, and have them shipped in a couple of days. So that's my comment.
Sean, thanks a lot for that call. Let's talk about that experience he's talking about. I mean, Cabela's is a store. Like, I know people, a lot of people in my family, they're excited when the Cabela's opens up in a town near them.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. Cabela's is another good example of a retailer giving you a reason to go in. Although, you know, I would say that increasingly, it's not just the reason to go in, because you can also shop at Cabela's online. It is that the online experience and the reason to go in are complementary, that they work together to drive sales.
And with branding, I think there's, if you go to a Cabela's, and there are probably other stores like this REI he mentioned too, it's not just shopping, it's also kind of a statement about who you are when you shop, if they've done this branding successfully.
Yeah, and I think that's right. That's more traditional, though, right? That's one way area where the youth retailers, the Abercrombies, have run into trouble, is that eventually there were so many of them there, and they were so similar. So, you know, that statement about who you are, that I'm a Cabela shopper, that says something about you, I think that can be, it is in their case, very important.
Could Kohl's fit in that category where, as again with Governor Walker, talking about using that Kohl's cash and getting that sweater for a buck? I mean, is that a identity statement, like, I'm a frugal shopper if I go there? Do people define themselves that way?
Can't really speak to that. I shop at Kohl's. I am frugal. But, you know, it's not the kind of identity in the same way as a Cabela shopper would have.
Well,
an Apple shopper, for that matter.
We can delve into your psychology a little more here. Maybe.
I think we need professional help.
All right, back to our callers now. Thanks for that call. Anne is with us in Eau Claire. Anne, hi.
Hi. I just was going to comment about that sense of memory and place that you guys are talking about. Going to Grand Avenue in Milwaukee in the 80s and 90s was such a special time for family, and also when I got older, with friends. And then, you know, you had to buy your concert tickets sometimes at the Boston store. So I live up north now, but that was, you know, the mall was the place to be, and a special place around Christmas time. So it really brings back a lot of memories, and sad that they couldn't make it work. But I think that we're heading in a different direction. I shop online and I still go to the mall.
And thanks a lot for that call. So that the family experience, the friends experience, the people used to have at the mall.
Yeah, and you know that that went away in the last, you know, decade or so, that we no longer felt that way about going there. But, you know, there are places that still make us feel that way. I go to Chicago and we go to Michigan Avenue. You still feel that way going there. It can be done. But someone's got to get up and they have to build it like that.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Susie with us in Mequon. Susie, hi.
Hi. I kind of am echoing what I just heard the other two people say. You know, part of shopping is being out there. I want to touch things. I want to feel them. I want to know what I'm buying. And when I see it online, I have to just trust it's polyester and cotton, or it's cotton and silk, but I don't know what the size is. I don't know if it's going to fit me. And it is part of socialization. Do we all want to just sit in our houses and do, you know, it's fun to be out with people.
Susie, thanks a lot for that call. A lot of people feel the way Susie does. Clearly, though, Hart, a lot of people don't.
That's exactly right. And even some people who feel that way will still go and buy stuff online because it's convenient and it's easy. Retailers need to make us want to feel that way and make us feel that way when we come out. Some are doing it, many are not.
And that's the stores that are failing, that are closing. They are not keeping up with that need?
Oh, Bon-Ton is, I think, and their set of stores is a prime example of someone who wasn't offering us anything distinctive that we would want to get in our cars and drive to.
We'll leave it there, Hart. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you for having me.
We've been talking to Hart Posen. He's an associate professor of management and human resources at the University of Wisconsin School of Business, talking about the retail landscape after this week's announcement. The Bon-Ton Stores, the company that operates Boston Store, Yonkers, and many others, liquidating their assets. A lot of impact on shoppers and workers around Wisconsin. This year, Wisconsin Public Radio is going beyond the ballot, asking Wisconsinites what's on their minds this election season. Friends Haley Pucker and Dana Gerber-Margie of Madison both graduated from college during the recession, and they're still feeling the financial strain. They sat down with WPR News to talk about this issue and more.
Do you plan to vote in this fall's election?
I do.
Okay, why?
Sometimes it seems like voting is one of the few ways that I can actually do something. It feels like I don't have a lot of power, but that vote carries the power I actually do have to, you know, get my voice out there and to get my opinion out there and perhaps actually cause change. Are you going to vote in this fall's election, Dana?
I do plan to vote. I think I'm going to plan to vote for the rest of my life in every election.
And why? Why do you vote?
I don't have much money, so the one thing that it feels like I can do more than donate large amounts of cash to organizations that are important to me, it feels like I can vote for people who think and feel similarly to me, even if I feel a little cynical, a lot cynical, about our democracy.
One of the things we get really worked up about and care about is healthcare in this country. Just trying to maneuver through the healthcare system. And I was in an accident in fall. I was biking home and an SUV hit me. I flew onto the sidewalk. An ambulance came and I was bleeding. I was bruised. I was cut. And they said, well, we don't think anything's broken. But do you want us to take you to the emergency room? We think you should go in. But as I was sitting in the ambulance, I did not think, oh, you know, like, did I break something? Are my intestines okay? Like, right. My internal organs? All I could think was, what's my copay to go to the emergency room? And how much does an ambulance ride cost? And no one should think that in my mind. No one should be hurt or sick and worry about what it's going to cost. Dana, what was it like entering the real world after college? I know we've talked about this a lot.
Oh, my God. It was awful. The time I was at college, the recession happened. And then I couldn't find stable full-time work with benefits, with anything. I cobbled together 5 part-time jobs, and then I listened as old people told me I didn't work hard enough. And I never saw a way out.
It's funny, I still don't feel like I've entered the real world almost. I know that sounds so dumb. Like,
I only feel like I'm recovering.
Yeah.
Do you think one of the reasons that you don't feel like you've entered the real world is because of your student loans?
Yeah. about half of my income every month goes to student loan bills. I live by the calendar to a scary amount. I know, like, the 22nd, this $400 loan is due. The 28th, this one is due. Like, I'm never not thinking about money.
If I didn't feel so tired all the time,
right,
I feel like I could do so much more. And I feel so tired because my mind is always thinking about money and inequality, my student loan debt and my health care and how I fit into it. And
it's exhausting.
To see more stories like this one or to share your own story, visit WPR.org/ballot.